Eric Lee is my guest. Eric is a fine musician. Recently, you can find him on tour with Man About a Horse, fine bluegrass band from Philadelphia area. Eric also performs as a solo and also lends his great talents to many other bands as they request them, and they do often. Eric has released a solo album entitled Heartache Town. In the second hour, you're going to hear from Eric Lee himself. I'm really happy to welcome someone that I've known for a long time, Eric Lee, the Unreal Bluegrass. Eric, I've seen you so many times here at Grey Fox. I'm going to see you again later with Man About a Horse, but I'm here to talk to you today about Fiddler's Dream.
You mean Fiddler's Friend?
Fiddler's Friend, yes. Fiddler's Dream is a distortion of, and I'm wearing it now. You know, it's probably got me so happy. I'm now the whole area is filled with that essence of.
It's a dreamlike inducing yeah. item. Yeah, Fiddler's Friend.
Fiddler's Friend.
Specialty product lines.
Yes, it is. And that's not what we're going to talk about, but we have discussed it in passing throughout our visits here. But I want to talk to you about your new album, Heartache Town. And Eric, I've not heard it, so you're going to have to explain to me what you're doing on it. I know it's good music because I've seen clips of it, or, I mean, you know, YouTube-type video stuff on Facebook. But tell me a little bit. First of all, I've seen you so many times here because you're always involved in good bluegrass and good music, and I've seen you pop up with your fiddle and your guitar and your voice and all sorts of things. And so, Heartache Town, where does that come from?
It's sort of a collection of various songs that could be, the way I conceptualized it, where these are stories of generally my own experience and some other people's experiences that I know and that I witnessed. And the second track on the album seemed to sum up in my head, kind of this fictitious town where everybody's, you know, going through their own
so
difficult
that's the
things.
That's the title card.
Yeah. And there are two happy songs on it, though.
So. Well, you don't want to overdo it with
yeah.
happy songs.
Nope.
Are most
actually
of these
three?
Three. Well, it's all, you know, it's judgment. Who gets happy from what? Are most of these your songs?
Yes, I've written them all. One was a co-write with a gentleman named Pete Nelson, great writer, great author, and I fleshed it out with, it's predominantly a songwriter record. It's not an instrumental record at all, but I do play some fiddle on it. There's a number of other folks that help flesh it out, so it does have drums, and there are drums, and bass and guitar, and some special cameos. Jesse Brock plays mandolin on a few tracks.
I think everybody knows Jesse. I just look at Lucky Penny, and I see your name, vocal, acoustic guitar, and Genevieve, only one. I don't know Genevieve at all.
Well, Genevieve performs as Genevieve, simply as that.
Okay.
So she wished to be credited as such.
All right.
Great singer who just moved back to the States from South Africa. And we met at the studio that I was recording this song. Oh, and actually, I should mention that, too. That song is a co-write with a gentleman named Neil Eckstein.
Okay.
As well. And the album also features Tracy Grammer on some harmony vocals.
Well, we talked about that the other day, and I knew her from her collaborations with, tell me the name of the gentleman.
Dave Carter.
Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah, Dave Carter really got me inspired to write. I was in a band that covered some of his songs, and even though I was playing fiddle, the power of the words just caught my attention and really brought that into focus. And so I've been a big fan of Tracy's, obviously, since being aware of their music.
I never used to pick up their music on, college folk radio, and never got to see them, but every time I heard one of their songs, I thought, why don't I know more about them? And I know they kind of, you know, you had to find them, and I know they did some stuff together, and then now she's alone in the Enterprise, but they had so many great songs. We're like, this is really, so I'm glad you were inspired by that, the way you related that his songwriting was it.
Absolutely, and actually a number of the tracks, Dave is a huge influence on me, and I always aspire to, if I can remotely channel any of his power, that would be an incredible thing. But
it's
a few of these songs.
That you're impressed. Like, I just think that's fantastic because
let me interrupt you, but that you draw so much from those words in his songwriting, and it's such an inspiration to you.
It's powerful imagery that he uses, and effortlessly cascading rhymes and things. Really brilliant. But I should mention a couple of these songs were inspired from experiences I've had here at Grey Fox. The good ones.
Okay. Do we get to know which ones?
Well, the first track, The Garden, is definitely The Garden, and I Wish I Was a Plumber, which would be interesting to... you'd have to listen to the song to see what I mean.
And that has Tracy Grammer, who we were talking about, singing harmony on it.
Yeah.
I used to see you all the time, and there was a constant flow of people in the area where we're sitting now. Bill Keith was right next door in the teepee, and there was a never-ending flood, and you would come by, and there'd be all kinds of guests, and I saw you all the time, and I'm happy that you're with Man About a Horse, because I get to see you perform with them today.
Yeah.
I knew you had this out, and I'm glad we had a chance to explore it a little bit. I'm going to listen to all these things here. And you play, you're singing, you have acoustic guitar, you do some fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there were some drums on it, which is not fatal to me on any of these cuts. It doesn't matter to me, but you have a guy named J.J. O'Connell on drums.
Great drummer. And actually, you'll hear in the Man About a Horse that we work in one of my songs called Another Bloody Mary Morning, which is a great one. It actually worked out.
From a Grey Fox experience?
That is not, actually. But we played Del Fest, and that was we were very excited about that, but the stage we were playing actually had a Bloody Mary bar built into it. So it was kind of one
unfair.
Of those...
That seems unfair to me.
It was kind of felt like my life had amounted to that moment, in that moment, so that was pretty great.
The... There's 12 cuts. I hadn't opened it all the way. I literally just got it. So as I forgot to open this flap to see the 12th, 11th, and 12th cut. So I know what you're doing on here. I think I know the music is not wouldn't be classified instantly as bluegrass. And genres don't mean that much to me, but not having heard it, what are people going to hear on this that would immediately not be in the bluegrass realm? Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to play it and give it exposure, but I'm just saying, what do you think? Why did you do this versus pulling in a bluegrass band and support? This is obviously something different for you.
Well, I'm trying to think the best way to answer
that.
You know, I think of the artists that that stand out to me the most. And, you know, we mentioned Dave and Tracy, but I think about, you know, Peter Rowan as well, who always was willing to do some kind of far-out experimentation.
Yeah.
Tim O'Brien is another hero of mine. And these folks that, you know, they may have a bluegrass song or something that might pertain to the bluegrass genre.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try to write my songs, and some folks might say, oh, that's too bluegrass to be considered folk, or that's not bluegrass enough to be bluegrass.
Well, then that's perfect.
And I like to think I write Eric Lee music.
But that's a perfect description. And of course, if you have Tim O'Brien and Peter Rowan, people know. But Tim O'Brien is an object for songwriting, and songs that he records. We talked about this the other day when I first ran into you here. He does Tim O'Brien music.
Right.
So you're going to do Eric Lee music, and Tim can do straight out bluegrass, he can do funk,
yep.
He can do James Brown,
exactly.
And he pulls it all off. So that's a great goal to go to, because, you know, he's accepted. He's going to be here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, immediately recognizes the. But he goes in other venues, but you're doing this that'll open up other things also.
And my thought with the album, too, was, you know, these songs all, obviously, I wrote them with just a guitar. And so I perform solo and with a full band, or with some accompaniment. But the songs themselves all work, you know, and I could have recorded it just a solo guitar and vocal album. But I wanted to flesh them out as best I could. Because I think about bands like the Beatles or whatnot, or, you know, some of those bands that a lot of people get influenced by early on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you couldn't play a Strawberry Field live unless you had the full orchestra, which, you know, I guess the Beatles had the budget to do that, but they didn't But so I just kind of wanted to hear the songs as full as I thought they could be. So even some tracks you'll hear, I did some pretty full string arrangements and multi-tracking of cello parts, and I used my baritone violin and my fiddle as well. So
where was it recorded? Who did the engineering on it?
A gentleman named Max Cohen did all the capturing. Recorded at Shoestring Studios in Belchertown, Massachusetts, and myself and Rusty, the gentleman who owns the studio, we engineered it ourselves and mixed it, and he was incredible to work with. He really, not only does he have profound knowledge of really old gear, but he has that really old gear that's it's great to use. So we had a lot of great talking points to kind of ping pong ideas about production, and we could really read each other's minds by the end of it.
So I'm looking through as I open up the cover again. You thank a lot of people, and you should. How long have you been thinking about? How long has this been a concept that you wanted to put out in the CD of Heartache Town?
Let me see.
Yeah.
The first song, the oldest song on here, I'm trying to think. This is probably all within the span of 3 years, I'd say. Maybe a little less. There's one song that I started the chorus, Prince of Dreamers. I wrote the chorus to that at the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival, where I've played in the house band there for years. Probably about 12 or 13 years this year. And maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, I wrote the chorus to it. But I was very proud of that and very excited about it. And I knew that that would be a really cool song that I'd like to play for a long time. But I realized I didn't have nearly enough heartaches or hangovers under my belt to write the verses. So
so you set about getting some.
Yeah. So, you know, 8 years later, there we go. There's
now
the song.
Cool. Yeah. That's hysterical. That's hysterical. That's great. I can't wait to hear it. I wish I had heard it before. And I should have made an effort to catch it, because I know you mentioned it on social media.
Mm.
I saw it. You talked about it on social media, right? And I should have. You're answering yes.
Yes. I'm glad to know that those posts get seen.
They're getting seen. And I kept thinking, well, I'll find it or I'll. And I did find it because you were here. I don't know how long ago you started posting about it, but I knew you were with Man About a Horse.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure you would have it. We were talking the other day about a number of things, not just general chatting, because I've known you for so many years. It's not that many, but 4 or 5 years, I guess, you've been running through here. And I always see you as Eric Lee, and I know you were progressing in your music. And
well, yeah, and just recently the album reached number 26 in the folk radio charts.
That's great.
So that was an exciting thing. And that's possibly where you might have heard about it.
Maybe it was.
More
it's,
recently.
Is this... If someone listening, the website attached on the back, you're not attached, but printed out, is www.eric-lee-music.com?
That's right.
And is that where the album can be had?
Well, or you can
where?
Find a link to that.
Okay.
But also iTunes.
Okay.
You know, of course, there's Spotify, but to be able to really support the artist,
yeah,
to purchase directly, or CD Baby is another one.
Okay.
What is the other one? Bandcamp.
Okay.
That's a popular website, and okay. I sell the album through there as well.
All right. So I want to make sure I get that right. It's Eric-Lee-Music.
That's right. And make sure that if you're looking for it, if you're just searching iTunes or something, it should turn up relatively easily. But if you type in Eric Lee Heartache Town, because if you just type Eric Lee, there's a Hawaiian gentleman who's also named Eric Lee, who sings songs devoted to a Jesus and God, but all in Hawaiian on a 12-string ovation. So we're very different, but I think maybe we could we should do a back-to-back tour sometime.
But he's never had another Bloody Mary morning.
I don't think he has. I'd have to ask him.
I even love the titles of this as I'm looking at it while we're chatting. And Lucky Penny is the one I guess you do kind of a solo track on here, right? Is it Lucky Penny?
Lucky Penny and Prince of Dreamers,
yeah,
are the most minimally...
Yeah. And see, you use those words, minimal versus, you know, really orchestrated and I'm always intrigued by the decision to do that. And as an artist, you want those messages. And I assume that if someone saw, because I know you told me you've opened for the Gibson Brothers.
Yep.
And then
yep.
and then gone on stage with them for some playing a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, we've had fun. No, they've been very, very supportive, and it's been great getting to open for them.
Now, when you open for them, is it Eric Lee and whatever instrument you bring? Is it a solo thing?
Just my name.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I've had accompaniment before with a gentleman named Jim Henry, who's a great artist. He works with Tracy and a number of other folks, too. I believe Elijah Gilkison.
I saw his name in here in Fall of Man as I scanned through. Is that the same guy?
Yep.
I caught that name, electric lead guitar. Okay.
Yep, Jim's an exceptional player. Dobro, mandolin, acoustic guitar. He's a great songwriter, too.
Will your tour... of course, they'll find you if someone looks for... That's the ice truck at Grey Fox. Vital. Of course, at all, Man About a Horse, they'll find where you're going to be with them. Mm-hmm. Will they find you on this website as to where you're going to be as Eric Lee?
Yes, they will. I have been overseas for a few weeks, for about a month, and I just came back and realized that for some reason the website I was using, that it's a separate app to update my shows, is not working. So I'm going to, the second I get home, I'm going to work on that and try to figure out how I can post my shows. But also through the Facebook link.
Yes.
And the website. The website has the links to the Facebook and all that stuff. So.
And because you were in England, not only with Man About a Horse, you were giving coffee. You were giving American coffee, making it available to the Brits.
Yes.
So that they could taste real American coffee. We're going to bring it round total circle here. As I'm sitting here wearing Fiddler's Friend cologne, which I'm digging it. I can tell the people walking by want to be part of my essence now. You also sell...
Well, especially while they were cleaning the porta potties.
Yes.
We were very popular then.
I was. So, and I do want to... This is not a funny thing. It's a real thing. You sell coffee, and I was talking to you and Daniel this morning, and the first night you get to England, you sell out of coffee.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, first off, Fiddler's Friend is a very real thing.
I know.
I've been at shows, and I've announced it at shows. Oh, I have coffee for sale. I have Fiddler's Friend cologne aftershave for sale. And afterwards, people will say, oh, that was so funny, that joke about the cologne and the coffee. I'm like, no, take a look. It's a real thing. So, yeah, so we got there, and I was in Norway the week before. And so I brought... I brought a bunch of pounds of coffee over, and I got rid of a number of them in Norway, because they also need good coffee. They're great in every other respect, but if any Norwegians out there are listening...
For a decade, centuries, they've suffered for their coffee.
Yeah, and I think that I could... Maybe I could help. But in England, too, yeah. So we got there, and the first day... It was funny, because our agent who put the tour together said, oh, coffee. Oh, well, that's interesting. You probably won't sell any of that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe she's right. And the first show we played, it just flies out. I just sold out there. And the funniest part was, you know, here I am selling this boutique coffee.
Yeah.
And the rest of the trip, I'm drinking instant coffee.
Because yours is gone. Because
mine's all gone.
You know, that's how Starbucks got started.
Is that so?
Well, I don't know. I'm not traveling with a band, no. I don't know, but having this interest, intense interest in good coffee and like you do, and I don't know how they got started.
Well, and it's good if you've had a Bloody Mary morning to have a little coffee to help
I get the
you
connection.
Up.
Look at that. You looped it all around better than I could.
Well, I think that's the next product line would be another Bloody Mary morning mix. But I'll have to, you know, look into that further.
A subsidiary of Fiddler's
Friend.
Yeah. All right. Listen, man, go get ready for your show. I appreciate you stopping by, and I can't wait to listen to this. So.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Enough. I know you're a good person. You're a good musician. All these things are beneficial to me in programming, and I just like you as a person. I'm glad you stopped by.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bud. All right. I'll talk to you later.